Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
It is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. Our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now, I got to tell you, I was a little bit ticked off about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago or so, when my physician, who I had known for 20 years, decided he wanted to be, he decided he wanted to retire. He wanted to go live the high life and go to the Bahamas every other week and stuff like that. So I was a little bit ticked off. We'd gotten to know him pretty well and really we're going to miss him. And then this new guy showed up, and this guy named Dr. Robert Carl showed up, and I was a little bit hesitant at first. You know, people normally being hesitant when something new happens in our lives. And then about 2 or 3 minutes into my first conversation with this guy, I said, "This guy's pretty cool. I think I'm going to like him." And that's why I've invited Dr. Robert Carl to be my guest today on the Career Callings radio show. Dr. Robert Carl joined Family Physicians of Spartanburg in 2015, previously serving as a primary care physician and owner of Nevada Family Care, as medical director of a wound healing center, and as an adjunct faculty member at Touro University in Nevada. Dr. Carl sees patients from newborn to geriatric, and his passions include following Jesus, spending time with his family, taking great care of his patients, technology, and travel. Rob Carl, welcome to the Career Callings radio program, sir. How are you today?
I am great, Robbie. Thank you for having me. I really have been looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. And I never have had a chance to tell you what I said there in the intro about you, that, yeah, I thought you were a pretty cool guy the first 2 or 3 minutes we got into that first conversation. So I knew all was going to be well.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You know, whenever you walk into a situation where many, many, many people have been won to someone else, there's a little bit of a risk. It's a risky proposition. And I'm very, very thankful that the Lord has kind of paved the way through my predecessors and given me the grace to be able to step into some of those positions over my history, and most recently where I am now. And has just built relationships out of it that were already being built before I even got there. And so I'm very thankful for that.
Amen to that. Well, speaking of your history and your journey, tell us a little bit more about how you got to Spartanburg, South Carolina, and with Family Physicians.
Well, that's actually an interesting process. My wife and I had moved after my training out to Henderson, Nevada. And we started a practice out there, started developing it over the years. The Lord blessed it. We grew it. We began to employ other physicians. And initially, when we had moved there, we did not plan to spend our lives in Nevada. That was not part of the original plan. We were just kind of striking out on our own as young people and trying to figure out what the next step the Lord had for us was. And so this thing, it kind of began to grow, and the Lord blessed it. And we got to a position where I remember 3 or 4 years ago having a conversation with my mother and telling her, like, I think we're just going to be here for the rest of our lives. I think I'm going to retire here because I cannot imagine being in a better situation. And for me to move, I would have to either have some amazing opportunity or just hear clearly the voice of the Lord saying, you need to go do this. And for the next several years, we just kind of buckled down and relaxed into this idea that we would be probably retiring in Nevada. In 2014, I was on the phone with a friend of mine who had a long-term friend moved to the Spartanburg area about 3 years ago. So maybe a year prior to us having the conversation. And he said, you know what, Rob, you need to look at jobs in Spartanburg. And I said, you're crazy. I don't have any intention of leaving here. But on top of it, I cannot imagine a better situation for me in what I'm doing in leadership and in medicine. And I just couldn't even fathom it. And I jokingly typed into Google, family medicine jobs, Spartanburg. And the first post that came up was the job that I'm currently doing. Nice. And that is really the beginning of any kind of consideration. I read through the job description, and what they were looking for was something very, very specific. And I had never in 15 years of being in this industry seen a job posting quite like it. They said that they were looking for an entrepreneur. They were looking for somebody who had administration experience. They were looking for somebody who had leadership experience previously. And they were looking for someone to come in and become a partner. But the bottom line and the thing that I think really tilted my hand as I was reading through was that they were looking for someone who sought to honor Jesus in everything that they did. And they said that that was one of their values as an organization. And you just don't see people, even godly people, necessarily wearing that on their sleeve. And so when I saw this ad, it was 11 o'clock at night. I fired off my resume, much to my wife's dismay. The next morning, filled her in. And that began the process of the transition to move out to Spartanburg, South Carolina, and join Family Physicians of Spartanburg.
You know, that's an interesting story because, you know, a lot of people I talk to about this topic of career and career choices, when they talk about how they ended up where they are today, usually, or oftentimes anyway, it was a transition from a less than ideal work situation into one that was much more suited for them. But yours is a little bit different. If I heard you right, you were already in a fantastic situation. And, you know, it's got to be hard to pick up and pick up stakes and leave from a situation that's already more or less ideal in your mind. So was it that call to being in a Christian organization that was the final thing that prompted you, or was there something else that also helped trigger that desire to move?
Well, I think over the years, I actually have championed an idea that I don't know where I heard first, but the basic thing was never say no. Don't say no. Don't let no be the very first thing out of your mouth. Always take time. Always take prayer. Always consider through things. And then after the fact, if it's a no decision, fine. And so that's something that I try to implement in many different aspects of business and relationships. And I think in the moment, that was one of the things for me that I just thought, you know what, I shouldn't say no to this. They are looking for me. They're looking for someone like me. I should take the next step. You can always say no later. And so the first conversation I had was actually with Dr. Steve Yost, who was my predecessor here, and our office manager. And that conversation was so telling about whether or not I wanted to take the next step, about whether or not I felt like God was even in it, and whether I should take the next step. And their hearts just came across in that interview as the kind of people who love people, want to take good care of people, but also the kind of people who really care about what the Lord wants from them in their day-to-day interactions and business and management of people's health. And so after that initial conversation, I thought, you know what, well, let's take the next step. You can always say no later. And we had a trip planned out here to visit our friends anyway, about a month after that. And I said, I'm going to come and I'm going to meet with you guys. And, you know, we'll talk further and we'll kind of take those next steps. So I think for me, rather than saying, you know, is this worth it or not? Should I make this decision right away? I thought investigation and discussion and prayer were all important elements to kind of turn something down as much as they are elements to say yes.
Well, I tell you, that just, you know, I had several verses popping into mind as you're talking about that, that had the same central theme. You know, the Lord's going to direct our steps, and we, you know, that's such great wisdom. Go ahead and take a step, and then the Lord will direct you one way or another, if it's supposed to be a no step or a yes step. But you kept the door open to the Lord's leading by simply being willing to take baby steps. And that is some fantastic advice for all of us as we're approaching a decision. And that's a wrap on segment number one of today's edition of Career Callings. Come back in a few for segment number two.
I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources.
Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break. It's Robbie Romeiser and Career Callings, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Let's get back into our interview with Dr. Robert Carl. During your career journey, what would you say is your worst career failure?
Two real quick things that I'll fill you in on. When I came out of residency, I had 9 job offers out in Las Vegas and the Las Vegas metropolitan area. They all seemed like really, really great job offers. I vetted them. I prayed about them. I talked with my family about them. And I picked the one that I thought was the best. And I honestly, looking back, could not tell you if I would have picked any different. I picked the people who came across the best in the relational aspect. I picked the people that I thought were going to provide me the best career opportunities in the future. And I signed up and literally within 3 months realized this was a horrible situation. I shouldn't have gone here. But I don't honestly know how I could have chosen differently at the time. The person that I was working for at the time was very, very, very money oriented, to the point that his ethics were driven by how much money he could put in his pocket. And he several times missed payroll for the office. And when people would go and ask him about it, he would tell his employees, his people who were, you know, making $10 an hour, that it's not his fault that they live paycheck to paycheck. To me, those things just struck to the heart of me. And I thought, I can't continue to work in this type of environment. And after many situations like that, and a few with myself, where he said, you know, I can't afford to pay you what we agreed upon paying you based on our contract, and we need to go get hospital help and so on and so forth. I sat down with my wife and said, I think we can do this on our own. I really think that we can go and start a practice, and I can work for myself and not work for someone else. You know, at that moment, we were 2,000 miles away from where we had grown up in the Detroit, Michigan area. And 3 months into it, and she was terrified, but she trusted me and she trusted the Lord. And I do not one time ever remember her telling me no. I remember her saying, I'm scared, but let's pray. And one step led to another. And within about 5 months, we had left and started our practice. So it took an 8-month process from the time we actually moved into that area to actually leave the employer that I was with and start that practice. What ultimately, I believe the devil meant for evil, God turned to good in that it helped me move out and actually start this practice. One of the pitfalls, I think, and when we talk about worst mistakes, I would say it's a pitfall that we tend to have as entrepreneurs and as business owners. And it's the idea that we need money to make money. And there is some truth to that, but it always has to be seen in balance. And so when I went to start a practice, I actually retained a variety of counsel, but I employed a practice consultant. And he, like all of the other people who were in my industry, said, you know, in order to do this, you have to set up shop somewhere, retain a space, invest in that space, build it out, spend all this money, and so we need to go to the bank and get a loan. And hindsight is always, you know, 2020. I look back and I say, man, I wish I had used the Dave Ramsey method. I wish that I had not taken out so much debt initially to get my practice going. And as you look at the statistics, people, you know, most businesses fail within the first 2 years. And so if you really pull out debt, pull out money, and try to start a business on other people's money, it's a much, much bigger risk than if you try to think outside of the box and try to do things in a way that is a little bit less common, but save some of that money and reduce your cost. And so my recommendation to entrepreneurs these days is don't do what I did. Try to minimize how much of other people's money you put into your business in the beginning.
But back to the decision of, you know, taking that job and then moving into your own practice, what would you say would be the number one lesson you'd want the audience to gather from that part of your career journey?
Failure is not final. That God consistently and repeatedly, no matter what we're talking about, has the ability to change a very, very bad situation and turn it for his glory and for your best interest.
Isn't that a great comfort when you're faced with a big decision and you just don't know which way to go? You might actually be suffering from analysis paralysis, but if you can just remember that ultimately God can make anything work out for our good,
yes,
that should be enough to give us the courage to take the step we think he wants us to take.
Yes.
Knowing that if we don't make the right choice due to some failure of our own, he's still going to make it work out okay. That's a great comfort. How are you currently using your career to impact others for Christ?
I live by a motto or an idea that we do not know the depth of God's work in the world. And it can be something as small as telling someone that they're loved by God, or that this is not what God intended for them, or that this is what God intended for them. Small statements like that have such a profound impact on people. And where in my industry, there are two mission fields that I see that I have. One is the people that I work with every day, and the other are these people that I see once or twice a year. And I go into it on a daily basis with an attitude of prayer that God will just help me say the right thing, do the right thing. Probably 6-7 years ago, my wife and I went to a worship event, and one of the musicians there is a man named Israel Houghton, and he had written many, many songs that I think are sung in churches across the United States, but one of them was called I Am a Friend of God, and that's one that a lot of folks know. He was giving his testimony, and he mentioned in his testimony that his mother was pregnant with him out of wedlock, and that she had fully intended to get an abortion. And she was walking down the city block one day, and some random person walked across the street and said, I don't know why, but I just felt like I was supposed to come over and tell you that Jesus loves you. And Israel said that that completely changed everything. That moment, his mother decided not to have an abortion. And as a result, he was born. And as a result, he grew up to know the Lord. And as a result, all the music that he has written has impacted hundreds, if not thousands, if not a million people across the United States and across the world. And I think we so underestimate God's power in such a thing as small as Jesus loves you. So I see my job as listening, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, saying whatever I feel like the Lord is leading me to say in that moment. Of course, supporting people in whatever other steps they feel like are necessary. Sometimes it's as simple as inviting someone to church. My pastor has said in the past, who do you think you should invite to church? And if you think of that person, it wasn't the devil who put that in your mind. And I was taken by that too. And it's just a simple thing like that, where it's one more invitation for people to follow Jesus. Whether there's somebody who follows him or not, we all need that invitation on a routine basis. One more invitation for someone to follow Jesus.
Yep. And you said a couple times that we so often underestimate God's power, but I wanted to piggyback off of that thought and just say that a lot of times we are the ones stifling God's power.
Yeah.
So oftentimes the Holy Spirit will prompt us to say something to someone or to give them a gospel track or something like that. And
right.
Out of fear, out of inconvenience, we won't do it. We won't obey. And I'm just as guilty as the next guy.
Yes, me too. Amen.
That kind of stuff. But there have been other times when the Lord has prompted me to say something and I have obeyed. And even though most of the time after obeying a prompting like that, I have no idea what happened.
Right.
I walked away from that situation knowing I had obeyed and done something that the Lord wanted me to do. So just be obedient. Just be willing, be flexible to do whatever the Lord says to do, even if it's saying something as simple to us as Jesus loves you. It could save a life and impact many, as Rob just said. So if you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them?
Yeah, that's good. As I think about that question, I think about when I was a high school student, what would the best advice been for me? There's two scriptures that are always in my mind, and I would tell this to everyone, but especially in that age group. And the one comes out of Ecclesiastes, and it's whatever your hand finds to do, do it with might. Do it excellently. And then the other one comes out of the New Testament, and it's whatever your hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord. And I think doing things excellently, putting your all into it, and knowing that you're doing it because you represent someone who is far greater, who is far more able to do everything. I think those are the two things that I would just encourage and push people on, spur them on in. I think if you can get those two things right, no matter what you do in your life, you'll be a success.
That's good. That's good. That'll preach, pal. That'll preach. Sage Advice by Dr. Robert Carl. Rob, I really appreciate you being on the show today. I've been blessed by this conversation. And man, just thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Thanks, Robbie. I appreciate it so much. I hope that there's some benefit in here for your listeners.
Oh, there's tons of benefit. Tons of benefit, no doubt. And that is a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. And I hope you've been blessed by our conversation with Rob Carl, as I have been. And please go to careercallings.net/radio to get your copy of today's broadcast, as well as all of the bonus material that Rob and I talked about that we could not fit on today's 30-minute on-air program. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.
We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
How about the other side of that coin? What would you say is your biggest career success?
This is one of those areas that's difficult, because what I do on a daily basis is sit with people, and I get to hear their life stories. I get to see them in their moments of weakness. As a family physician, especially the longer you know people, you see all the triumphs in their life. You see people whose children get married, and they were the child who came in with the asthma attack that one time that almost had to go to the hospital, or the grandparent who came in and you diagnosed that they were having a heart attack, and you were able to get them in and get them handled and taken care of, and now they're seeing their granddaughter's 18th birthday. Those kinds of wins in my industry and my field are the most prominent things, I think, in terms of success that we could talk about. So much like an athlete who wins a game, there's this sense of winning and success that we are able to gain from what we do on a daily basis. There are, of course, personal successes from a standpoint of making sure that my kid's college is paid for, making sure that my in-laws, who are missionaries, are able to have a place to return to when they come back to the States, because they don't make any money. You know, they're basically donating their time and all of their resources to reaching out to people in parts of the world where many people are not. They're not reaching out. There is nothing. And so for me, on a personal level, those things are successes. The fact that I can come alongside of my family and support them in their next right step in following the Lord.
Mm-hmm. But if you were to kind of isolate one big success specifically tied to your business career, what would you say that would be?
I would say that would be having no debt as a company, and having more than enough income to sustain our lifestyle, and building upon that within the company. And I think those two things for me occurred probably about 7 years into our practice, where we no longer had any debt as a company. And all of the incoming capital was for salary or company expansion, and not to pay off previous debt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. And what would you say was the underlying catalyst to being able to generate that kind of income? Was it just providing a high value service to your clientele, which is, often the case in most businesses, or was there something else to it that you think that really was enabling you guys to generate that kind of income so that you could pay all that debt off?
So I would say in order to do that at the time where I was in Nevada with that practice, we did it with efficiency. Nevada has some of the lowest reimbursement rates from insurances of anywhere in the country. And so we really had to be very efficient with our resources keep our costs down, keep our costs low. And what we found was space is a commodity, and what typically happens in my industry especially is people go get the Cadillac and you really only need the Geo Metro. And so we had many providers in a tight space and made that space work very, very efficiently. And then as far as staffing goes, we heavily emphasize technology within our practice, and we're able to minimize staffing over what a lot of practices do. And so in that environment, really paying attention to our systems within the business and our efficiencies within that system, making sure things were lean as much as possible, I think really helped and got us to that point a lot faster.
Well, I heard a saying a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away that went something like this. It's not how much you make, it's how much you keep.
Absolutely. So keeping
those costs down, good way to keep a lot more.
Right.
You know, when people are looking for clues into which direction they should go with career or maybe how to run a business better, they ought to really take account of their weaknesses and strengths. So to kind of give our listeners some encouragement along both those lines, tell us real quickly what you would consider to be your biggest weakness in the workplace.
I think the best answer to that would be to go around and ask my staff and my family and all of those kinds of things. And I think you would hear a united chorus, and they would all tell you that I have an attention problem, and that if it weren't for the fact that I somehow made it through medical school and am a fairly successful physician, they would all think that I have ADD. And so I think nice. For me, it is absolutely an issue for me. I cannot multitask. I can concentrate on one thing at a time, and if I get distracted from that one thing, it is gone. And so I think that is definitely my biggest weakness when it comes down to the day-to-day operations and day-to-day kind of how I get my job done. I'm thankful that in creating me, the Lord saw fit to give me strength that can compensate for those weaknesses. And one of the things that I would say is absolutely one of my biggest strengths is that I am able to rely on other people. And I see the value of others who I work with in a very, very big way because they compensate for those weaknesses for me. So I have consistently surrounded myself with people who are great multitaskers, who are people who they're my employees, but I give them full right within my environment to say, hey, keep on task. This is the thing that's coming next. This is what you have to do. Don't forget about that. And they really do a great job of wrangling in my attention deficit. And I believe that from a standpoint of strength, my one strength is I am willing to rely on the people around me who God has entrusted me with to help kind of keep those things under control.
You know, that's good stuff. And there's a lot of folks that struggle with that strength of yours. I'm glad you have that naturally built into you. But a lot of people are so perfectionist oriented or so control oriented that they don't really get around to relying on other people. And they shortchange themselves and their ability to live out God's calling because they can't or won't rely on other folks. And you need to get past that if that's you, because, you know, no one person ever accomplishes anything of significance for the Lord. It takes multiple hands stirring the pot in order to accomplish the Lord's work.
You know, I think that's a great observation. And it leads into some other things that I think you'll probably ask me about, but I think are just so vital. And so I'll bring them up now because they really pair up with what you said. And that is systems. Systems are very vital to me. I believe and trust my own ability to accomplish whatever task it is excellently with perfection and in the utmost of detail. I believe, unfortunately, which is probably one of my character flaws, that I can stand with anybody in one of my companies, do any of their jobs, do it successfully and appropriately down to the T. But that's not what God has called me to do. I can only serve one function within my organization, and I can't do everything. Part of what He has called me to is investing in other people around me who can also accomplish and do. But when I have that sense of it's out of my control, that's where it becomes very difficult. as a business owner, as a leader, as an entrepreneur, one of the challenges is to then give people the tools to succeed in the way that I think they should succeed. And by doing that, I can literally go through different tasks within my organization and script out how those tasks should go, and then give people freedom to implement those things that we have designed. And so one of the reasons that I can trust the people around me is I've shown them, sometimes down to the letter, exactly how to do what they have to do. And in doing so, I've empowered them to go ahead and complete it. So not only do I trust them, but I trust the system that we've put in place that they are responsible for making sure it happens. There are many, many books on this subject that really kind of speak to that. But especially in medicine, so much of what we do is a reflection of me and how I want things to happen. It's a reflection of me and my license. My license is on the line with every decision that happens within my practice. And so to that extent, we have designed systems in each one of those areas so that people can implement those systems and run with them. And it is something that I can trust what I've participated in the design of as much as I can trust the people who are implementing it.
That's good stuff. Have you ever faced a challenge to your faith in the workplace?
Like what?
I was just curious if you had ever had someone react negatively to your sharing of your faith or persecute you for your faith. And if so, how did you kind of react to that?
I would say I cannot recall any time where anyone has ever persecuted me for my faith. I do think that there are times where people are standoffish about it. I pray with people frequently, and I always ask people beforehand. I don't force it on them. I've always said, hey, would it be weird if I prayed with you, or do you mind if I pray with you? And whether Christian or not, over the years, I know that I have prayed with people who do not profess faith in Christ. I have never had anyone turn me down. And I make it intentional not to force it on them, because I can always pray for them by myself. But I have never one time had anyone ever turn me down. I do think that there are times where people are a little standoffish about it. They don't believe, and so they seem to think that, you know, whatever you have to say is not relevant. Probably the times that stand out most in my mind are people who are openly atheistic. And I always liked to approach those things in a way that is compassionate and kind, but yet challenging. And so I always, like my one question that is my go-to question in those kinds of situations is, what happens to you after you die? And I just ask them questions. And usually they'll say, well, nothing, in that type of situation. And I'll say, well, so if nothing happens to you after you die, like, or nothingness happens, how do you know that? And they'll say, well, I don't know. That's just science. That's just how it is. And I said, so basically you have faith that that's true. And they'll usually start laughing at that moment because they know that I've reframed the conversation, and they begin to understand that whatever they believe takes just as much faith as whatever I believe. And so the question is not whether or not you have faith, because we all have faith. And the question is, what do you have your faith in? And so I have conversations like that. To my knowledge, I've never had anyone stop coming to me as a result of my faith. And I've always worn my faith on my sleeve. I've always been vocal about that and talked with people about that in a very compassionate way. But to my knowledge, I've never had any other big collisions.
I'm glad you isolated the fact that everybody's got faith in something. And
right.
That is such a key point. And I was just listening to something. I guess it was another interview of some kind on another show yesterday or the day before. And I don't remember the exact book title that the guest said that they liked, but it was something to the effect of, "The universe has got your back." And I'm thinking to myself, you're putting your faith in some unnamed, faceless universe
right.
that supposedly cares about you. And you know what? That ain't a whole lot different than God, although it's not the God of the Bible. The reason they like the universe taking care of them is the universe has no moral code, whereas our God of the Bible does. That's the only
right.
difference why they don't want to do
right.
it. But yeah, got it. That's good. That's good stuff. What would you say is your number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
System formation. There is not a day that goes by where I don't look at something that we're doing and say, how do we systematize this? How do we make sure we get the same result every time, no matter who's doing it? I would say that is absolutely one of the business values that I hold and is a habit of mine as I look at things and think about them.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us fall short, myself included, in properly systematizing our lives. You know, we need to build routines into our daily lives that will help
yes.
us achieve the things that the Lord wants us to achieve. And that's the same thing as systematizing our daily habits. So that's something we all need to look at doing better. What about business habit? And if it's different, do you have a different business habit, what you would classify as a business habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your success?
You know what? Forgive me, because I think I got it backwards. That systemization is really what I would consider a business habit.
Okay.
My personal habit that I think is absolutely vital, and I can point to times in my life where I didn't do this and I struggled, and when I do this, I find that things fall into place like they're supposed to. And it is prioritization. It's prioritization in everything. And, you know, it's God first, family second, everything else after. And so for me, making sure that in my life on a daily basis, Christ takes the center of that, whether or not it's, you know, praying on a routine basis in the morning prior to leaving the house, or praying on a nightly basis prior to going to bed, spending time with the Lord and His Word. I feel like those are the things that, for me, have absolutely been centering and help pull everything around so that I don't lose perspective on what this is all about. And I think that is the number one thing. The number two thing is my family. You know, if my wife says, "I need you for this, I need you to do this," I do it. And I'm not going to say I do it completely easy every time. I fail sometimes too, but as a rule, as a habit, if she needs me to do something, if she needs me to be somewhere, I do it. I be there. And she has been a wonderful support to me over the years. The very least I can do is support her when she asks for it, you know? And so especially with our kids being small, there are things that, you know, have to be attended to through school and sports and church and all of those kinds of things. And if I need to be there as a dad or as a husband, like, those things take priority.
Amen to that. Share a productivity tool. So it could be internet-based or non-internet-based, but something that enables you to be you know, really effective in the workplace.
So this is one area where in medicine things become maybe a little bit different than some of the other areas. I use my phone quite a bit to be very productive. There are two apps specifically that I use a lot. One is called UpToDate. UpToDate is a medical clearinghouse of information and research, and it is absolutely one of the tools that allows me to be on the cutting edge of how medicine is practiced across the United States and in the world. Medicine, like many industries, changes rapidly. And so what we are tested on in our board certification now is very different. The answers are very different. The research shows different from 10 years ago, 20 years ago for sure. And so the thought is that in my field, if you are not willing to continue being a student, you've missed it. You have to know where to go for information. So UpToDate is an app that is very, very current in terms of treatment guidelines and so on and so forth, and I use that aggressively. There's another app called Hippocrates, which is a medication app. Both of those applications are I use hour by hour throughout the day to be on top of newer information, to be a good student in my area of expertise. And I know in most industries there are apps that are like that. I would always encourage any of your listeners to have some sort of resource that continues to stretch them and help them learn in whatever field they're in.
Yep, good advice. Now, a lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be, and we've already touched on a lot of great business advice in this interview, but if you were kind of going to compress what we've talked about so far and maybe add one or two other things if you see the need to do so, what would be the top three things you would tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful in their business?
The top three things would be, and we've covered some of this already, minimize debt, in order to, and also do what you can to maximize cash on hand. The second thing would be systematize. And then the third thing would be trust the people that you put around you. Use the team that you have. Enable them and empower them with tools that you've developed so that they can do what needs to be done without your direct supervision, without you watching them over their shoulder at all times.
Good, good, good. Now, on our show here at Career Callings, we've established time and time and again that the number one book everybody should read is the Bible. But outside of the Bible, what would be one book you would recommend that our listeners dive into?
Can I give you three?
Sure.
I'll give you three.
You're an overachiever if you do, but you're welcome to do it.
You know, I'll tell you, Robbie, there's a statement that a pastor by the name of Bill Hybels made that has stuck with me. And over the years, I revisit this frequently. And one of the things that he said is that you are the same person in 20 years, except for the people that you've known and the books that you've read.
Yep.
And I think that's 100% accurate, starting with know Jesus and read his book. I think that's 100% accurate. So I do try to read, especially in areas of leadership and business development, because that impacts my day-to-day life so much. Leadership. I would say the number one book on leadership that I've ever read, and I've read a lot, is a book by Perry Noble, and it's called... Oh, I blanked on it. I'm going to have to get back with you on that book. Forgive me.
Sure,
but it's
no
a leadership problem. Book by Perry Noble. And I'm looking for my copy because I had it sitting right here. The second book that I'll tell you is a book by Tim Ferriss, and it's called The 4-Hour Workweek. And Tim Ferriss is an entrepreneur, has started a bunch of different businesses, and he is a think outside of the box kind of a guy. And even if his business model doesn't fit your industry, where his business model does not fit my industry, he helps you exercise that muscle where you think outside of the box. And so that's the second book. The third book that I recommend to everyone is E-Myth. And it is about systemization and developing and designing processes within your business. And they actually make some dedicated professional versions for physicians as well. But that book actually applies to everyone.
Well, I've read the E-Myth before, and I've also read Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek, and those are both Both great books. The one from Perry Noble, would that happen to be The Most Excellent Way to Lead?
Thank you. I kept thinking The Best Possible Way to Lead, but The Most Excellent Way to Lead is the book. And that book is spectacular. One of the things that he does in that book is he walks through the 1 Corinthians passages about love. And he talks about those passages in context of leadership. And I will say, I've read many, many leadership books in the past that have really addressed positional authority and positional leadership and how to develop and cultivate people around you. That perspective, the biblical perspective of love on leadership, is absolutely the most impacting to me because of how it coaches us on in servant leadership and to lead like Jesus does. But they are very practical, principled truths that absolutely apply in day-to-day leadership within a business organization as well. And so very impacting. I've given that book to probably 7 or 8 of my friends and challenged them to read it. I found whether you are religious or not, it is a spectacular book for you to read and digest from a biblical worldview.